I call the Senate Special Committee on the Arctic to order. Today is Friday, February 14th, 2017. Let the record reflect the time is 3:31 p.m. Committee members present, Senate President Kelly, Senator Olson, Senator Dunleavy, and myself, Senator Giesel. Excused absence on other state business is Senator Hoffman. Thank you to Ann and Matt, who are helping us out today, recording the minutes and helping us with the audio. Today we have one item on the agenda. That's House Joint Resolution Number 5 by Representative Dean Westlake. The 1002 area of the coastal plain of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge has been the subject of countless speeches, resolutions, and efforts by this legislature. A product of the compromise of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, the 1002 area was specifically set aside for potential exploration and resource development. This resolution supports the efforts of our congressional delegation and their efforts to complete the compromise fashioned all those years ago to preserve the industry and infrastructure that keeps Alaska great and helps make Alaska resource development great again. I welcome Representative Westlake and his staff to come forward and make opening remarks.
Thank you. I'm Dean Westlake, House Representative, District 40, and along with myself is my Chief of Staff, Jesse Logan. So this bill here before you is, as you know, is about the Anwar Coastal Plains, and as you know, our district, we're heavily subsistence. We pride ourselves in that. That's always our number one priority. However, jobs are things that we need out there, development, resource development in rural Alaska. It's pretty much everything to us out there. So this bill urges the U.S. Congress to pass legislation to open the coastal plains of Anwar to oil and gas development. The opening of Anwar would be beneficial to both Alaska and the United States. Additionally, this is our region, as well as Senator Olson here. It would create thousands of jobs across the nation. That's my region. That's what we're interested in is jobs, and subsistence. So thank you.
For the record, my name is Jesse Logan, staff to Representative Westlake. It's nice to see you all again. You guys have seen this resolution multiple times over the years. What this resolution would do, if passed by both bodies, is signify a unified voice from the state legislature to Congress that we prioritize opening the coastal plain of Anwar. It urges them to open the 1002 area and recognizes that the state has made efforts in developing renewable energy, and we're not focused solely on fossil fuels. I'm happy to give any background information on the area if the committee would like, but I'm sure you're all very, very aware of it. In the end, I think this resolution is mostly about self-determination for the state in developing its own resources and being able to pay our own way going forward, creating jobs and having an economy that's thriving.
Very good. Committee members, any questions for Representative Westlake or Mr. Logan? Yes, Senator Kelly.
Representative Westlake, congratulations on this bill and thank you for bringing it forward. It looks like we actually might be in an environment here to do something about the 1002 area, and I just thank you for stepping forward on this. I know it's just a resolution, but they matter. And if we could, I'd say let's move this bill from committee right now, but I know there's some more process that we have to go through.
Thank you, Senator Kelly.
Any other questions or comments for the spot? Yes, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Westlake, as you look at this resolution that has been looked at before, I guess, what kind of opposition have you had over in the other body?
We've heard a lot of testimony, and a lot of it hinges on subsistence. There's great concern for the caribou, as there should be. I don't dispute that. I'm concerned as well. That's always a great trepidation when we talk about a primary resource, biological resource for us. And I've also heard a lot of people out there in opposition because of recreation activities. They want to get out there, they say. They get out there and go enjoy a vacation, if you will. However, when you look at both sides and you look at recreation versus perpetuation of our culture, or way of life or standard of living for Alaska, you have to weigh whether recreation or perpetuation for us as Alaskans, which one should be more substantial. And in this case, I think that the choice is clear, that we perpetuate our cultures out there and we perpetuate our standard of living for all Alaskans.
Follow-up, Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I wasn't necessarily asking about what testimony there was. I was wondering what kind of opposition there was in the other body as far as elected officials who are representing a large number of people, a large population. Were there any was there any significant opposition in over there?
Senator Olson, I, the best way I can answer it, I think it was 31-4 was a vote. That was how it stood.
Okay. No further question, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you, through the Chair. I too, just want to make a comment, and that is, Representative Westlake, I think this is a fantastic bill. I want to thank you. It benefits your district, but in fact, it benefits the entire state of Alaska, as we know. The more oil we get in the pipeline, benefits the Treasury. The more people we put to work, benefits Alaskans. And I agree with you. We can do both. We can responsibly develop our resources while at the same time protecting our traditional activities and our traditional way of life for the folks up in your district. So, again, I wish all the bills were like this, where we could just all agree on them, but this is a good one. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank
Madam
you.
Chair.
Senator Olson.
At ease, please.
Brief at ease. We're back on the record. Thank you for those questions to Representative Westlake. Next.
Madam Chair, I do have.
Yes, Senator Olson.
One other question.
Absolutely.
Representative Westlake, we represent many of the same people. You're up there more actively than I am because it's your House district. Can you give me a feeling for what the local people want to have happen related to the development or opening up the area? So
yes.
So we get a better feel for what the grassroots people that are seeing that land day in and day out.
There had been the Arctic Policy Commission, if I have that right. Perhaps my chief could speak more to that when the Arctic Policy Commission was there, as he was involved in that when they came up.
Sure. Again, for the record, my name is Jesse Logan, staff to Dean Westlake. During the 2 years that the Alaska Arctic Policy Commission traveled around the state, we had several meetings, as you know. One was in Barrow. We had a complete day of listening sessions, as we called it, where we had representatives and elders, prominent individuals from all of the villages on the North Slope. And what we heard again and again, actually, was that they would much rather see opening of oil and gas development in Anwar onshore than the OCS area offshore. They said, one, because it was closer to them and they wanted the jobs, and two, because they felt like we could do it very safely.
Follow-up, Senator Olson?
No further questions, Madam Chair.
Very good. At this time, then, I will open public testimony. I see we've got some folks online wishing to testify. I'll begin in the Fairbanks LIO. The first person there is Pamela Miller. Pamela, testimony time is limited to 2 minutes. If you would begin, and all the testifiers who are listening, begin by identifying yourself and your affiliation, and you will have 2 minutes to testify. Pamela, welcome.
Hello. This is Pamela Miller. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now, Pamela. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a Fairbanks resident speaking for myself. I'm a former bird biologist, seismic monitor, biologist who studied impacts at Prudhoe Bay, wilderness guide, and now a small business owner. I've spent time in the refuge in the summer and the winter. We're talking about the real Alaska and what our sustainable future will be as a state. We need vision to look for the new economies well beyond oil. Now is a good time to do that. The Arctic Refuge was established before statehood, including the coastal plain, or what's often called the 1002 area. It's an integral part of the refuge. It has a rich cultural dependence by Native people, both Inupiat and Gwich'in. I'll speak to one common falsehood about the refuge. The so-called 2,000-acre impact is a hoax. 1.5 million acres would be open to leasing. The potential oil is in scattered pockets. Even the U.S. Geological Survey said that the prospects precluded accumulations as large as the Prudhoe Bay field. The largest estimates for oil in the federal lands of the coastal plain are if you look at the large numbers, that's a 1 in 20 chance that that much might be found. However, that's often the number is used for potential oil. I believe that tourism is a far better way to go. At the extreme end of tourism is the wild country, that's the Arctic Refuge, that does support subsistence and intact cultures. We have a growing tourism market in Fairbanks, and it is a vital part of our economy. It's not only jobs, it's livelihood. Thank you very much. This is the heart of the refuge. There would be unavoidable, irretrievable impacts, and the state has far more oil remaining in the Prudhoe Bay fields, both conventional and unconventional on state lands, and we get a lot more money for that oil. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela, for your testimony. Next up in Fairbanks is John Bost. Welcome, John. Your name and affiliation and your testimony, please. John, can you hear us? John, are you there? Let's move on to Eni. I believe I'm pronouncing, I suppose I'm not. Eni Peter. Eni Peter is at the Fairbanks LIO. Can you hear us, Mr. Peter?
Hi there. We have some technical difficulties, but we're back on, and John is here at the conference table.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Welcome, John. If you would give us your name and affiliation and your 2 minutes of testimony.
Yes, my name is John Boss. You can hear me now?
Yes, very clearly.
Thank you. My affiliation, I'm just here for myself. And I would like to urge you to support protection of the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. A refuge is supposed to be a place to provide protection and shelter. We need to protect the wildlife in this refuge. You can protect the Arctic Wildlife Refuge by opposing House Joint Resolution 5, and I urge you to do so. Oil and gas drilling in the refuge, I think, would be devastating to the wilderness and the wildlife, and oil and gas drilling just seems incompatible to me with the wildlife refuge. Aside from that, we need to be making the transition away from fossil fuel dependence and instead to the development and use of alternative and renewable energy resources. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next up we are, it's Eni Peter.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, very clearly.
My name is Eni Peter. I am a Fairbanks resident. I'm here speaking on behalf of myself and my family. I am Navajo and married into the Gwich'in tribe, and I have lived in Arctic Village, three daughters who are Navajo and Gwich'in. And I am here to ask that you vote no on HJR 5. There are many Alaskans who don't want this area to be open for drilling. There is an outdated, I think, survey out, and I think that with numbers saying that many people want this place to be drilled, but I think that's outdated. I think that needs to be re-looked at. Many people oppose this, not only for the cultural impact and the subsistence impact that it will have on the Gwich'in people, but also because of climate change, it is just an imperative that we do not take more fossil fuels out of the ground for our future generations. We cannot continue to emit the carbon that will be emitted when this oil is burned. Also, I think the economy, as I heard many representatives, a number of representatives on the floor side speak to, this is not a solution for our current fiscal crisis. Much of what we will see from this potentially, I know if it's potential, because I did also hear oil and gas say that they're not even, they don't know what's there, there's not even, there may not be anything substantially there. And I've heard many representatives speak to the fact that even if this was brought and oil was produced, that we wouldn't see the economic benefits of this for years to come. So we have the opportunity to look for different economic solutions.
Thank you for your testimony. If you could wrap up, Ms. Peter, your 2 minutes is up. Were you finished? All right, thank you. Charlotte Basham is next up. She's also at the Fairbanks LIO. Ms. Basham?
Yes.
Welcome.
My name is Charlotte Basham, and I'm a Fairbanks resident, speaking for myself. And I strongly oppose the drilling in Alaska, in the wildlife refuge. The estimated amount of recoverable oil is not worth the cost of infrastructure. I was reading something recently about what it would take to get roads and all the infrastructure would be necessary for the amount of oil. Just does not seem worth it. And also, the bigger argument is the irreparable harm to a fragile ecosystem. Anwar is a treasure that we must preserve. I believe there is a wide diversity of wildlife, especially the caribou, which is sacred to the Gwich'in people, the cultural importance. And just the idea of the wilderness is important to preserve in our, just knowing that it's there, whether or not you visit it, knowing that it's there is important. I urge you to vote to oppose HJR5. We do not need the oil. We should develop renewable energy instead. It has been shown that developing renewables brings actually more jobs than the oil would. I believe that we're called to be responsible stewards of the earth, and I believe that this calls us to leave the oil in the ground. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Basham. Next up is Fran Maurer, also at the Fairbanks LIO.
Yes, Madam Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Fran Maurer. I'm here to testify for myself. I will say that I was fortunate to have worked as a wildlife biologist at the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge for 21 years. And one of the things that I learned while I was working there is that the coastal plain of the refuge is the most heavily used calving ground for the porcupine caribou herd, and what happens there with regard to impacts will influence a far greater area of Alaska and Canada than 2,000 acres or even 1.5 million acres, however you want to dice it, with regards to our coastal plain. Many people think that the coastal plain of the refuge is just like Prudhoe Bay, where there are some caribou in proximity to oil development. However, the refuge is far different. The mountains in northeastern Alaska in the refuge come very close to the coastline, leaving only a narrow area of coastal plain where the caribou give birth and nurture their young. Here we have 5 times as many animals as occur at Prudhoe Bay, depending on 1/5 as much habitat for its critical part of their lives. Studies at Prudhoe Bay have shown that the females with young are displaced from some development activity during the calving and post-calving season. Because of the lower density of caribou there and generally ample habitat for displaced caribou at Prudhoe Bay, our studies on the porcupine caribou herd calving grounds and the refuge indicate that if caribou are displaced from oil field development, it will put them in areas of higher predation mortality near the mountains. The herd will very likely decline due to greater mortality of the young herds, of the young calves. But there's much more wildlife than just the caribou, and that would be affected. I urge you to oppose H.R. 5 for all these reasons. The caribou are a renewable resource.
If you could summarize, please.
And the oil is not. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Maurer. At this time, we'll go to the off-net. Julia York is calling in. Julia, can you hear us?
Hi, yes. Hello?
Yes, please. Give us your testimony.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. My name is Julia York, and I was born and raised in Fairbanks, and I have a master's degree in biology. My family has been directly affected by the budgetary crisis in Alaska, and therefore I am testifying today against HDR 5. The fact is that further developing oil infrastructure makes no economic sense. Oil prices will be maintained by OPEC or drop even further in the next several decades due to oversupply. Opening ANWR will only further tie us to the failing global market. China is investing $50 trillion in renewable energies, and you guys would have us give tens of millions in tax breaks to oil companies for the possibility of revenue more than a decade from now. Yet there are 31 towns and villages in Alaska that require relocation at this moment due to rising sea levels, and each relocation is going to cost $100 million. That is over $3 billion that we need now. I hope you understand that we are beyond the tipping point of climate change, and this is going to cost us. Oil development of the tundra only exacerbates this problem, because disturbing the tundra thaws the permafrost and releases tons of stored carbon into the atmosphere, creating a multiplying effect on climate change. As the special committee in the Arctic, I'm sure you are aware that the Arctic is warming more than twice as fast as any other place on Earth, and because it is so cold, that warming also causes more destruction. The coastal plain ecosystem is already facing these enormous challenges, and further human disturbance would mean permanent destruction of this ecosystem. One of the primary arguments for opening ANWR is that it will impact a very small area and that we can do it in an environmentally responsible manner. Unfortunately, the oil companies are misleading Alaskans about their ability to be environmentally responsible. They have a fundamental misunderstanding of the biology of the tundra and a direct financial incentive to convince you that this is a smart idea.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. York.
Please do not support opening ANWR.
Thank you for your testimony. Your 2 minutes is up. Thank you. Next on the off-net is John Strassenberg. John, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Welcome.
My name is John Strassenberg, and I'm a private individual testifying from Talkeetna. I've lived in Alaska for over 40 years and have visited the Arctic Refuge many times on extended trips. I've backpacked in the mountains, floated rivers by raft, and traveled along the coast in canoe. Some of these trips have included the coastal plain, including the 1002 area. My experiences in the refuge have been and continue to be some of the most memorable and inspirational of my life. It's much more to me than recreation. It's an experience that speaks to my soul, and that's not an overstatement. I've long advocated for permanent wilderness protection of the 1002 area, and I do so now, asking you to vote no on HJR 5. But it's also more than personal. I'm very supportive of the Gwich'in people and the importance of the caribou to their subsistence and culture. I visited Kaktovik to observe and photograph the polar bears. And just from my experience there, observing the number of people there, paying a lot of money to get there, and paying the guides, made me think that it's a significant contribution to their economy. But I also learned the stresses and diminishing population of the polar bear and understand now how drilling will make it even worse than it already is. Should the 1002 area be open for drilling, only a small slice of the eastern coast of the entire North Slope would be protected. Most of the North Slope is already open to drilling. So the Arctic Refuge is a coherent whole. It's a true wilderness, as true a wilderness as there is on this planet Earth. And it is not possible to bring industrial civilization to this place without destroying what it is. So again, I urge you to vote no on HJR 5. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next up...
My wife, Ruth, wants to talk too, I think.
Next up on the line is Ruth Wood. Ruth, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, welcome.
Okay, thank you. So my name is Ruth Wood, and I always testify because John and I don't agree on everything, but we do happen to agree on this. And the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is a treasure. It is not just an economic opportunity to dig oil out of the ground. It is a treasure. I've been there and seen it, and I know. The other thing that I find very misleading whenever this or other resolutions come up is it talks about how many acres in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge are protected. But it doesn't talk about the fact that this plan is to open all of the coastline that is in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. So there will be no coastline that is still protected should we open this area to drilling. It's important for the polar bear. It's important for the porcupine caribou herd. And it's important for the people of Alaska who go there to experience a part of the world that can only be experienced there. And the other thing is there is a glut of oil and gas in the U.S. right now, which we all, in the world, and that's why the price of oil is so low. The lower 48 is producing more oil and gas than the country can use, and it's just not going to be worthwhile to develop this oil and gas for years and years and years, and it shouldn't be opened unless it is an absolute emergency, and we're not there, and we're probably not ever going to be there. And this land should be protected, and it actually should be protected as wilderness. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to the Fairbanks LIO. Brianna Yonker is there. Brianna, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, clearly. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Brianna Yonker. I live on Eielson Air Force Base. I am also a student at the University of Alaska, but I'm here representing myself. On the National Park Service website, there's a quote from the Wilderness Act of 1964. It says, "Where the earth and its community of life are untrammeled by man." And that's used to describe Anwar. And I think that that's an important component to look at is a community of life. And I believe that this drilling would disrupt that community of life that exists there. And I think that there is an ethical obligation of us that supersedes any economic value that could be added from drilling. There's a quote from Aldo Leopold, an ethical philosopher, when speaking about our obligations to the environment, and he said was that ethically and aesthetically, what is ethically and aesthetically right, as well as what is economically expedient. A thing is right when it tends to preserve the integrity, stability, and beauty of the biotic community. It is wrong when it tends otherwise. I believe that by approving HJR5 and opening up drilling, that it would be going against that integrity. And therefore, I ask you to oppose this bill.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Yonker. Next up on the offline is Misty Nikolai. Misty, can you hear us?
Yes.
Welcome.
Misty Nikolai of Fairbanks. So this resolution is written pro-industry. It has zero economic benefit for Alaska for the first 7 years, the prime years for oil extraction. So it's not going to help our budget deficit. for those years. It threatens the main food source of 14 rural communities, and as it is, Alaskan subsistence hunting is valued at $2.5 billion, whereas imported food is valued at $1.9 billion. The best jobs up north currently are outsourced to people from other countries in the lower 48, and Alaskans get the lower-paying jobs and are first to be laid off, regardless of their educational background. When big oil ruins our wilderness, they don't fix it, as we've seen in the Exxon Valdez oil spill. All this resolution accomplishes is creating a precedent that nothing is off limits to big oil. Next, they'll be taking over privately owned land, as we've seen in the lower 48. It is your responsibility today to serve Alaskans and our Alaskan economy. And the only way for you to do that is to vote no on HJR 5.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Nicolai. Next up is Carl Portman in Anchorage. Mr. Portman, can you hear us?
Yes, thank you.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Carl Portman. I'm Deputy Director of the Resource Development Council. RDC strongly supports HJR 5 and has consistently supported opening the 1002 area of ANWR's coastal plain to oil and gas development. According to the Energy Information Administration, oil and gas development in ANWR could result in new domestic production ranging from 510,000 to nearly 1.5 million barrels per day for a period extending for approximately 12 years, with additional production for many years following. Such production would save the nation billions of dollars in imported oil, create thousands of new jobs, refill the Trans-Alaska pipeline, and generate billions of dollars in new revenues to the federal and Alaska treasuries. The 1002 area is the most prospective conventional onshore prospect in our country, with an estimated 5.7 to 16 billion barrels of technically recoverable oil. If the 1002 area is open, not 1 acre of designated wilderness would be disturbed by development. With advances in technology significantly diminishing the footprint of development, we do not have to choose between energy production and environmental protection. It is possible to develop the energy reserves inside ANWR while directly utilizing less than 1% of the area. This can be accomplished without significant disturbance to wildlife. The 1002 area of ANWR should be open to responsible oil and gas development. Our nation's security in the Arctic and Alaska's economy depends on it, especially since the Arctic OCS has been taken off the table. Moreover, we can have oil and gas development in a very small area of ANWR, approximately 2,000 acres, while maintaining the special values of the refuge. With 70% of Alaskans consistently supporting oil and gas development in the 1002 area, with surveys dating as late as 2016, RDC strongly encourages passage of HJR 5. In conclusion, I would like to point out that a previous caller indicated that, in her testimony, that if the coastal plain was open, that all of the coastal area of ANWR would be open to development and none of it would be protected. This is inaccurate because there are 500,000 acres of the coastal plain east of the 1002 area that is designated wilderness. This designated wilderness does go all the way to the Canadian border and would not be open to development. And another point I would like to rebut is people indicate that we do not need new energy development in the Arctic because of the shale renaissance in the lower 48. But the Energy Information Administration and the Department of Energy has indicated in their forecast that shale development production, that shale production in the lower 48 will commence a decline beginning in the midway through the next decade.
Mr. Portman,
and will be in a long-term trend decline.
Mr. Portman, if you could wrap up, please.
It is true that ANWR production wouldn't come online for perhaps 10 years or longer.
Mr. Portman?
That's when we're going to need it to replace shale production in the lower 48. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify on House Joint Resolution Number 5? Seeing none, is there anyone else online? No one else online wishing to testify. I will close public testimony. Now, it has been brought to our attention that there's some language that needs to be removed to make the overall resolution a bit tighter. Senator Olson, I understand you have a conceptual amendment to offer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move a conceptual amendment number one.
I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Okay. I'm sorry, it has three parts to it. The first, on page one, lines 224, we were deleting the portion that says, urging the U.S. Department of Interior to recognize the private property rights of owners of land in and adjacent to the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, on page one, lines 224. And on page four, line nine, after the word resources, delete and created the Alaska Energy Authority to assist the state in, so that it reads only, whereas the state promotes the development of renewable and alternative energy sources, advancing new energy projects and technology. That's on page four, line nine. Also on page four, line 24 through 29, delete all that material. So between line 24 to 29, delete where further resolved, and that whole section is to be deleted.
Thank you, Senator Olson. I'll invite the bill sponsor, Representative Westlake, forward to comment on the conceptual amendment.
Madam Chair, if I could just comment as well.
You bet. Senator Olson.
This conceptual amendment has been in collaboration with the resolution sponsor, as well as his staff, and my staff have worked together very well in trying to craft this from the information that we've gotten from the constituents that we represent, and as well as those throughout the state of Alaska.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And for the record, this is Representative Dean Westlake from House District 40. And thank you. What we wanted to do was strengthen the language in here, and writing it with, as this has happened before, with the intent of giving it over to our federal delegation that they can bring this to Washington. So it's a matter of fixing all this up and going forward with it.
Thank you. So in conclusion, you are supportive of the amendment?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. I'll remove my objection. Is there further objection to the conceptual amendment? Seeing none, the conceptual amendment is adopted. Is there further discussion? All right. Seeing none, I'll just make a brief statement. I want to thank Representative Westlake. You've stated that before that a good-paying job is the great equalizer in our society. That these kinds of jobs continue the vibrancy that makes Alaska great. And these are transferable skills that people learn as they have these jobs, which mean dignity and help make our villages and towns richer as a result. So thank you for all of this. Multi-generations of Alaskans stand to benefit from this. We have three territorial kids here sitting at the table, Senator Olson, Senator Kelly, and myself, and you yourself, Representative Westlake, were born about the time of statehood. We know that we want to make this a vibrant place for our children and grandchildren, so thank you for this resolution. So with that, Senator Olson, I will take a motion to move this resolution.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the Special Committee on the Arctic Policy moves committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 5 out of committee to the next committee referral with accompanying fiscal notes as amended and with accompanying fiscal notes and
Thank you, Senator Olson. Is there objection to moving HJR 5 as amended? Seeing none, HJR 5 as amended moves from this committee. That concludes our work for today. Please sign the transmittal document before going, and this meeting stands adjourned at 4:11 p.m.